The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Third and long. Wilson floats it way upstairs. Williams, he's got it! Touchdown! Mike Williams, the newest Steeler, scores!
I kind of had an idea. It wasn't a line for me to be over there. He told me to go over there, so I kind of had an idea that the ball was going to be up. So I ran the route and just checked the air and caught the ball.
The magic of Russell Wilson, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills. Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Mike Williams wasn't exactly sure what he was supposed to do on that play, but Russ coached him through it and then threw a beautiful moon ball to him. It fell out of the clouds into his hands, and it was manna from heaven for Steelers fans and for us to get to 7-2, still have a hold of first place going into this massive matchup against the Ravens on Sunday, which we'll be previewing all week on the show beginning tomorrow. And Mike Tomlin addresses reporters at noon. Looking forward to that one. Mike Williams, I think, in his addition and what he was able to do in just one game, part of what has spurred this conversation everywhere today about taking the Steelers seriously and looking at them as a Super Bowl contender, because up until Mike Williams' addition, I could say, okay, they've got this stat that says they can compete for a Super Bowl. They've got this defensive trend going for them. Mike Tomlin has won one before. I mean, you can construct arguments every which way, but it would have been really hard to offer a retort to someone who just said they only have one legit wide receiver. They only have one legit wide receiver. Calvin Austin's a nice player who's caught a couple of touchdown passes, but there's really nothing beyond George Pickens.
What happens when they take Pickens away would have been the basic argument.
And now you've got someone who, before he even knows the playbook, is already putting his fingerprints on a game to the point where his catch won them the game. And just like we had to ask about Russ and about Justin Fields, when we acquired these players who were given up on by the teams that let them go, well, how much does this guy really have left? With Russ, we're finding out he has plenty left. With Justin Fields, we're finding out, even though he's not as good as Russ, probably more a failing of the Bears. Look what they're doing with Caleb Williams now than what Justin Fields can't do as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then with Mike Williams, it's the whole relationship that turned sour with Aaron Rodgers. And we played a clip last week on this show of Mike Williams talking about joining the Steelers and throwing shade at Aaron Rodgers on leadership. I can't wait to play with a quarterback who's a leader. There's a leader here.
Mm-hmm.
We played that clip and I quoted it, and some people came back and said, you're trying to make something out of nothing. He's not actually going after Aaron Rodgers. He is just building up Russell Wilson. The two things don't have anything to do with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Today we got our answer. Mike Williams sent out an Instagram post of him celebrating the touchdown, and one of the hashtags he used was red line. Red line is the thing that Aaron Rodgers crushed Mike Williams for. He said he needed to go up the line there on that interception that lost them the game against Buffalo. So Mike Williams is now, and I love this, he is throwing it back in Aaron Rodgers' face. You didn't want me. You didn't believe in me. You didn't trust me. You wanted to throw guys you've been friends with going back to your Green Bay days like Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard. And now I've been freed from New York and I'm in a place where I can be productive again. As crazy as this is to say about a guy that's won four MVPs, only one Super Bowl, beat the Steelers, it seems like it was an Aaron Rodgers problem and not a Mike Williams problem.
He looks cooked as hell. I watched that game. He sucked.
They scored 6 points.
You know what else I was doing? I was briefly
Mike
driving.
Mike Williams scored as many points as the Jets yesterday.
I know. Thank you. I tweeted that, and apparently I was told so did 150 other people yesterday, but that makes it no less fun to point out. I did something I know you're going to love here, Chalooch. I was in the car. I had the radio on. I have all the games. You know, I have that other thing that you shouldn't be listening to right now. And Craig Wolfley's brother,
Ron Wolfley,
is the color voice
at the Super Bowl.
He is the color voice of the Arizona Cardinals. Dave Pasch is their play-by-play man. Of course, the other half of the late Bill Walton college basketball trio or duo. And Wolf was having an absolute field day because Kyler balled out yesterday. But they were just pointing out that Rodgers is slow. He can't get to his spots. He can't get anything on a lot of these throws. If you pressure him, he just looks toast. Given the way Cousins looked for the Falcons against the Steelers early this year in game one and how pathetic he looked, I know they lost yesterday too, but I would have guessed he would be the guy who would be completely cooked. It's Rodgers. It ain't Cousins. Rodgers looks like he's toast. Like I know he cooked the Texans in the second half and occasionally greatness will still pop up. Like Ben in 2020 in that Colts game, he just turned it on all of a sudden. We thought, okay, maybe he's getting it back. No, he was pretty much on the way down. Rodgers appears to be toast. And I don't think those guys really feel like playing on a team where Aaron Rodgers is calling all the shots. How could you? Because he's not doing all the stuff that justifies calling all the
Russell
shots.
Russell Wilson is doing for the Steelers what Jets fans thought and what national sports media people thought Aaron Rodgers would do for the Jets, which has completely revitalized the organization. The Steelers, I think, are Super Bowl contenders because they've plugged this hole with, I think, a useful player in Mike Williams. We saw with their defense, even though they gave up 27 points, completely took away Jaden Daniels' run game, took an offense that was averaging close to 400 yards, held it to 245, which was a season low. Season high 6 punts by the Commanders. You know, they gave up a touchdown because of the fake punt, which is a separate issue. And that probably should have been maybe they give up 20 points in the game or 23.
How many good drives
like
did they allow? I would say 2 objectively good drives by the Commanders. I guess 3 if you want to count their field goal.
And how about this, just as an aside, ESPN this morning, I was at the gym, and one of their talking points on this game was, did the Commanders get screwed by the refs? I mean, you want to talk about trying to come up with an asinine topic off of a game where it doesn't fit.
Wait, you had ESPN on? I just assumed they would be talking Jets-Cowboys only.
They asked the question, did the Commanders get screwed by the officials yesterday? So go through it. Like the Zach Ertz play, if the official says first down on the field,
it's a first down,
and it was, the spot on the field was atrocious. I still, gun to my head, don't think he got it. And if he didn't get it, and it was by like less than an inch. I mean, it was very, very close.
It's one of the closest plays in real time that I've ever seen.
So let's say they got screwed because they got the call wrong because the initial spotting was so horrific. Where else did they get jobbed? After Warren fumbled, Watt got tackled in the end zone by Trent Scott. They didn't call a safety there.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been Steelers ball and 2 points for them.
Oh, by the way, Warren fumbled and Gene Steratore said it easily could have been forward progress.
I was just going to bring that up. And he said, well, he's fighting. He's not fighting forward.
When a guy is fighting but is going backwards, they blow the whistle dead. It happens to Najee.
Sideways.
It happens to Najee regularly.
Forward progress is he's still moving towards the end zone, not to the sideline. So I still think Jalen's got to hold on to the ball, but ultimately I agree with Gene on that. Like that was probably like a 50-50 call that went Washington's way. I would be the first to say if the Steelers, you know, I would honestly in this situation be completely transparent. And like with the Raiders game, we said, man, the Steelers did get the gift of some of these calls here.
I didn't think they were gifted a bunch. I know that there's a sentiment on Twitter that they get a ton of these calls. I didn't feel like that happened. I thought they got fortunate on the Ertz play, but that to me is wiped out at least by 2 points coming off the board for a holding in the end zone, and then by the fact that they might have been up 28-27 and not needed a Mike Williams touchdown if they call the forward progress.
And another reason why I feel like they have a Super Bowl capable team is we don't know when Alex Highsmith is going to come back. Now, Dulac is saying it's a multi-week thing.
But no IR.
Yeah, no IR. So he won't play against the Ravens, and because of such a short turnaround, he won't play against Cleveland. So we know he's out for the next two games. Let's hope he's back for the Bengals game. Highsmith, I was wrong. I said Nick Herbig was better than him. That has turned out to be a
not
pretty
true.
Ridiculous claim. But I still like Herbig. And how about Preston Smith?
Came in and made a play.
22 snaps. Sacked Daniels. Pressured him a few times. Was in the backfield. Again, brilliant move by them.
A sack, two tackles for loss.
I don't know the complete backstory there of who called who, but they must have found out, I would think, through Smith's agent that he quietly requested a trade there, and Khan pounced on it. I think there was a lot of teams out there that if they knew that here's a veteran pass rusher that you can acquire for a seventh-round pick, you can get him for a song. Even if you don't have a need at the position.
They would have just done it to
you
fortify.
You just do it, exactly.
They did it. They get a guy who not only, it's not like he's, here's the other thing about him. I was trying to think of this. It was Malik Reed, not Marquise Reed. When you said that earlier, that's
Marquise
why I
Reed
like.
Played at Robert Morris. Yeah, he was a very good basketball player.
I was like, what the hell? Correct me if I'm wrong, Malik Reed, when he came over, he had been kind of pushed out of their rotation, right? He was a rotational linebacker for them.
Yes.
The Preston Smith difference for me is he was starting. It's not like he was completely phased out in Green Bay. He was still like an active part of what they were doing.
I think he got 49% of the snaps in their last
okay,
game.
So that's like, that's basically you want to call a guy like that a starter? He pretty much is one. So there's no ramp-up period. There's no rustiness that he hasn't been getting run. You're putting a guy in your lineup who has to learn your defense, yes, and learn what his responsibilities might be, but he's used to playing a reasonably high volume of snaps. They've got a lot of things to like, and I hope that's being reflected in my voice because it's the most optimistic, I swear to God, this is the most optimistic I have felt about this team since they beat Brady here in 2018.
Let's see if other listeners agree with that optimism. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Carl in Natrona Heights. Hello, Carl. Carl, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi,
what
Carl,
do you got, Carl?
Just wondering, just speculation from this. The easiest way to get in Mike T's doghouse is ball security.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Jalen's fumble is going to knock him down on playing time? Because he's got a lot of jump, and I think need him in the offense.
My short answer is no, I don't think long-term it will unless he does it again or two times. I think it very clearly for the rest of that game got him put in the doghouse, but not long term,
yeah,
in my opinion.
I agree with Chris on that, Carl. I think he's on double secret probation right now. I think if he does it again, he could be in hot water.
Lutarski, 0.0.
Because of the way Najee's run, and they clearly like Patterson. So I think he would go down to third on the depth chart if he continues to have fumble.
He definitely was better than Najee, though, up to the fumble yesterday. Najee was not having a great game after we were all wondering if they made a mistake on the fifth-year option.
I thought that I thought Jalen Warren looked like himself is the best way I can put it in that game. I thought he looked like the Jalen Warren of 2023. Brian's in Brookline. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Andrew. Talk to you up at the Fire Alarm Fire, U.S. Marine Corps. We were talking about Camp Pendleton.
That's right.
Thank you for all you do for us, and thank you guys, Chris, too. Thanks for what you guys do, your station does. We really appreciate your support.
You bet, brother.
Thank you, ma'am.
Also, a couple things. I'll just talk on a couple topics. I didn't mind the punt return or the fake punt. I didn't mind it. I just didn't like the field position that we were at. I'm very inspired by Arthur Smith. Matt Canada could never do this. We could never score three touchdowns in a game. We could never score 28 points. And I'm very Arthur Smith, to me, gets a game ball because just he knows his players and he's using his players properly. Two other small topics. I didn't think Cordell Patterson had some pop. He looked slow yesterday on his kick returns. He looked lethargic. Like he had that one at the end of the game, but he didn't look like he had a lot of little bursts.
No, I think that part of his game is gone. I think it's just getting by on the savvy of where the hole is.
I was going to say, yeah, he knows how to read his blocks and set up his blocks.
Brian, that run he had before they got the hard count first down.
It's the only reason that play was possible.
He got them into fourth and one on that play. So I got to give him credit, even though he's not someone I think is going to take it to the house, although he did that in the preseason and he had a long run against the Chargers. But overall, I agree with you. He's not someone that I think is going to like go for a 60-yard touchdown return anytime
soon.
Here's
one point of concern that I've seen watching the whole game and watching it back, actually, is Terry McLaurin ate Joey Porter's lunch. Joey could have a bad game, first one in a long time, but he got beat pretty bad by Terry McLaurin.
And the penalties.
Were bad. I didn't think Joey Porter Jr. Did he have one in the second half?
A penalty?
Yeah. Were all of them in the first half? Because that was on the broadcast. They were saying at halftime they're going to have to talk to him about what he's doing as far as being very handsy because these refs are calling it tight.
That officiating crew has a penchant
for
that.
Yes, yep. It's known for that. What was that, Brad Rogers or whatever? I thought that I'm biased because I thought Terry McLaurin for a long time is one of the best and most underrated receivers in the league.
And every dog has his day. I mean, you go up against these number one wide receivers, you're going to lose to one.
I'll tell you what. I think Porter, I've been pretty complimentary of Porter, so I don't think this is unfair. I thought he had a very bad game. I also thought the penalties got in his head early. Like, I just thought it mentally threw him off his game. That's a mentally demanding position. I think it was in his head that he was wondering, like, am I going to get called for another one? He was frustrated, all that stuff.
I mean, if they had lost the game, okay, the fake punt thing would be battleground number one for people going back and forth on that. And then I think the other thing people would get to very quickly would be guys in the secondary, Joey Porter Jr. and Minka. I think that one of the guys who ends up...
The big play to McLaurin happened because Minka made a feeble attempt at a tackle. It was bizarre.
And I'm not saying he didn't really have any other obvious errors in the game after that.
But you're paying him $18 million so that he'll have obvious positive impacts, Pony.
I think that ends up being a talk. I mean, this is not a joke. I've had multiple people during the game yesterday and after the game, even today, texting me, what are they going to do with Minka next year?
He hasn't done anything. When is the last time that he made a play that either like forced a turnover? Has he fallen on a fumble maybe? Maybe.
No.
No, no fumble recoveries, no forced fumbles, no interceptions. I'm trying to even think of tackles for loss and stuff.
He's not down near the line of scrimmage doing that stuff, Chris, so he's not getting tackles.
They're backing him off 25 yards off the line of scrimmage. I get it. You want like him out there in center field. He's making... Unless they're going to tell you that teams would otherwise be taking liberties with them over the top.
They would tell you that. That is exactly what Terrell Austin would
then
say.
Is that worth $18 million? $18 million? How about I just draft a free safety and say, guess what you're doing? Third round pick. You are just staying 20 to 25 yards off the line and trying to break on the football. Come up if it's obvious a guy is getting to the second level and make a tackle.
I don't think Minka would be a fan of it if he wasn't getting compensated the way that he is for it.
He definitely wouldn't be because he'd say, you're preventing me from getting compensated because I'm not doing anything.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he'll sacrifice for the team, but I think he'd also look at it like, man, there's so many things I can do and you're just...
You have me out here. Like, I'm only saying this because I'm so like bullish about this team. I don't think they would ever actually do this, but I'm just going to choose to hope that they have been leaving him in reserve a little bit for this division gauntlet here. Like, hey, we got a couple surprises cooked up for Jackson and for Burrow, and it involves this guy.
PM Team Professors is about 15 minutes away. We'll grade the Steelers after yesterday's win. We still want to hear from you, 412-928-9370. Veterans, cut the line today. We'd love to hear from you on Veterans Day. Tell us where you served, where you're listening. We're a big fan of what you've done for us. 412-928-9370. Super Bowl being thrown around even more today. Are you finally, after that win, buying in and believing that this team can do it? 412-928-9370. And whether it's the fake punt, Mike Williams, Russell Wilson, anything else you want to chime in on from that game, 412-928-9370 right now at Charlie Headline.
Pitt Hoops in action tonight at the Pete. Pitt 2-0 right now going up against Gardner Webb. Tip-off scheduled for 7 o'clock. We'll have pregame coverage beginning here on The Fan at 6:30. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Fan headlines are powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Mr. Muller.
Thank you, Mr. Borges. Let's talk about Shorkey Mitsubishi, North Huntington, the place where you need to go if you want to find the Mitsu that fits you, if you want to upgrade what's sitting in the driveway right now with something that is tech-filled, that's got all-wheel drive that looks incredible. It's a real eye catcher, and that's also backed by and gives you the peace of mind that can only come from that 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. They've got the best inventory, Shorkey Mitsubishi North Huntington. That's why you've got to check them out right now. Special lease offers 2025 Outlander SE hybrids. Sign and drive for $388 a month. Check that out right now. You can also get into 2024 Outlanders 0% financing for up to 48 months. 2024 Eclipse Cross, same deal. 0% financing for 48 months. And then you want to check out not leasing but buying. How about 2025 Outlander hybrids up to $11,000 off MSRP? Check them out right now. Shorkey Mitsubishi North Huntington, online, ShorkeyMitsubishi.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a template for us. You know, we have a mode of operation when we face extreme quarterback mobility, and that's what he has. He also can throw it very well. But being in the North facing guys like Mr. Jackson is somewhat familiar to us.
Mike Tomlin on being up for the challenge, the test that was Jaden Daniels because of all their battles with Lamar Jackson. And boy, oh boy, we're going to get another one on Sunday. It would be the most anticipated game on the NFL schedule, possibly even all year, but the issue is there's also a Chiefs and Bills game Sunday afternoon, and that's why we're not getting Romo and Nance. They're actually, the whole crew is headed to Buffalo, Bill Cowher and company. They're doing the pregame show in Orchard Park.
That's the four best teams in the AFC in those two games.
Yep.
That is, I feel very good saying that now. Texans certified frauds, I think, given what happened last night.
And you'd put Chargers 5.
Man, right now I'd feel pretty good about the Chargers, yeah, in that spot. Definitely not the Broncos, although they should have won yesterday too. But I think Steelers, Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, in whatever order people feel like blending them on a particular day, is your four best teams in the
Mahomes
AFC.
Mahomes is the boogeyman, and they've won two in a row. But to be honest with you,
they should have lost yesterday.
There's no fear factor whatsoever for me with them right now. They just do not intimidate me because they keep. Other than, I mean, even the Raiders, actually, they keep the opponent in every game. They are very similar to the 2020 Steelers. The only difference is that team, other than Ben, didn't have anybody else around that had recently won Super Bowls.
There's another difference, though. Ben was clearly at the end of the line in terms of how he was playing the position. Mahomes is still in his prime. He's just having a weird off year. There's every reason to believe because, and also, who was the offensive coordinator for those Steelers? Farts in a skillet.
That would be Randy Fichtner.
And who runs the offense for the Chiefs? Andy Reid.
The guy that's doing that weird fumble rooski or whatever that commercial is. That
Great Googly Moogly?
That State Farm commercial. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where he's using that...
I don't know that one.
Weird voice. Charlie, can you help me with this?
I just know the one that they did, the old Snickers commercial where they did the... looks good, but it's the Chiefs, not the chefs. I'm just saying there's every reason to believe that the Chiefs will play better football. That's the only thing that has me nervous, that nobody's taken advantage of how vulnerable they've been. And if they end up going in, you know, with two losses or something like that, and they still have the road go through Kansas City, it'll feel like every other team had a missed opportunity to put them in a much tougher spot.
Najee Harris was really impressed by Mike Williams yesterday, but listen to this answer. I don't think he actually...
Who he's playing football with.
I think
with.
He's wrongly identified Mike Williams as another current NFL wide receiver.
I never knew how that worked, but for a guy to come into a team and one catch for one touchdown, that's probably the biggest play. I'm surprised of how the hell you knew the play, but, you know, I guess they must have told him on the sign or whatever, but, you know, for a guy to come in there You know, a guy like Mike Williams, you know, who has a record of, you know, 1,000-yard seasons. You know, he has a good, his resume is, you know, he's a baller.
A guy that has a record for 1,000-yard seasons, that would be Mike Evans.
Hold on.
The Tampa Bay wide receiver.
I have a different thought here. The way it actually sounded, I have a different opinion on this than I did. I thought we were going to be making Mike Evans jokes. I think he just means he has a record, like in his past, he's had 1,000-yard seasons there.
Oh, like he
has a record on his, like on his record.
1,000-yard seasons, you know, he has a record of, you know,
Not the record of 1,000-yard seasons to start a career like Mike Evans.
That makes more sense.
A record on his track, he was got a track record pony.
I thought he might be conflating Mike Evans' career for Mike Williams.
I still think there's like a 5% or so chance he is. But I am choosing to give Harris the benefit of the doubt here, and he's just saying he's a guy who's had 1,000-yard seasons.
How
before.
About Kabali interviewing Mike Williams after the game as part of that scrum?
What was happening there with Mark?
Did you see it, Charlie?
He looked like he was struggling, like he was about to go to war in
his pants.
Yeah.
Oh,
there
like
was,
he
there
had,
was a battle.
So wait, he was having the Hershey squirts sweats.
There were some bubble guts happening.
Oh,
there.
Oh no!
It looked like it. He was. I don't know if it was the lighting and the camera that was in the room, but...
No, it's not the lighting and the camera.
The lighting
camera.
Boy
the
was
camera.
Sweating.
That is a horrible feeling. And what's he going to do? Like, if he goes to the bathroom, what's he going to tell McAfee? Like, you know what? I would have gotten all this sound, but I just had, to poop my pants.
Yes, I actually think he should have.
If he does that, do you think he goes on McAfee, says it, and McAfee says, I wish you'd have just pooped your pants in the locker room?
I think if Kabali sends out a tweet, hey, I didn't get any audio or quotes in
the locker
room. I had
to poop my pants. He goes viral.
He starts McAfee's show today. They immediately bring him on as a guest to talk about what happened. I mean, good God, they're putting the friggin' Saints coach on high because he said he clogged the toilet before the game. So there's obviously among football fans a keen interest in people having to take a crap.
That was you made a great point about that, the toilet, the New Orleans toilet situation. How are they not industrial flush? You'd expect they'd just be able to power through anything, and then I guess it was his office, his like little offices in the Superdome.
Yes.
I would think the only thing I could think of was, does he have a nicer, more refined toilet where they don't expect that they'll need the industrial flush capacity? You know, like one of those work toilets that can handle literally anything you throw at it.
Well, since that they won, I know athletes are superstitious.
He's got to take a toilet clogging crap every time.
Clog the toilet every game now for the rest of the year?
If a Saints insider does not ask him that question between now and next Sunday, they're not doing their job right.
Now, how's he going to do it? Because on South Park, they just had Randy Marsh clog the toilets with P.F. Chang's on his P.F. Chang's only diet. Was that back when you were still watching that show?
No.
Hot.
They got to have one that's at least 1.5 Currix, man.
Does a janitor get called in there too? Or does
Great
he handle
question.
It himself?
And if it's the coach's office, like they know it's him. See,
right.
There's no
Does the coach just say like I walked in here and somebody must have broken in?
Does
like
he blame it on an offensive lineman?
Blame it on the coach who
Man, Fuaga got fired? Was in here.
Yeah,
right
Dennis Allen left this for you.
Yeah, good point.
That's a tough scene. I think if you're the coach, you just vacate the premises. You don't want to look that person in the eye and have them know exactly that you're the reason they're there and what was happening to them.
John is in New Jersey. Hello, John.
Hi, guys.
John, didn't you once flush a toilet on the air with the Midday guys?
I did not. I can't take credit for
that. That must have been Bill in New Jersey. My bad.
No, ignominious...
Good word.
Ignominious distinction. I like that.
I got my New Jersey callers confused. Anyways, John, happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Happy Steeler win Monday.
Yes.
Makes for a much better Monday. I don't know if you guys, or if you kind of believe in karma, football karma, but I do. And I think that... even though, and you know, Pony, I remember you said something specifically when you were talking when the whole quarterback change was being kicked around and talked about, and you said that they had nothing invested in Russell Wilson, and I don't think that's not true. I think when there was a point when Mike Key sat across from him, face to face, and they shook hands or whatever, and he said, you know what, you're going to be the starting quarterback. You're going to have the shot to be the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. And to not give him that opportunity, bad mojo. You know, and I think right now Mike is reaping the rewards of a good karma, because and really Russell's the same quarterback that he was when Mike picked him to be the starter, you know, 4 months ago or whatever it was.
I didn't think he would be, because I didn't think he was. I thought the calf injury was going to rear its ugly head, even though he was, quote, healthy enough to play. I thought it would have started to linger or bother him by now, and we would see like a compromised Russell Wilson. So that was part of it. Soft tissue injury, guy in his mid to late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I was fearful that we were never even going to see a Russell Wilson look like he was at. What's going on?
We're seeing vintage Russell Wilson. PFF agrees, Pony.
Is that right?
79.9, second highest graded player on the team next to Pickens yesterday. But I'm smiling for a different reason. Numbers 1, 2, and 3, Pickens, Wilson, Williams. Number 4 on that list is Broderick Jones!
I did think he had a better game.
Big Broderick Jones! They loved him! They said his pass blocking was the best on the team!
You know who I didn't like yesterday?
Hmm.
I didn't like McCormick very much.
33rd team loved him. And
really?
they love Frazier the most, the 33rd team. And they liked McCormick a lot in their their pressures allowed stat.
Oh, well. The 33rd team or PFF?
No, 33rd team. Because I saw a 33rd team one that had Frazier just listed as the best lineman for pressures allowed.
What did PFF think of McCormick? They like him?
Hold on.
Am I barking up the wrong tree by saying I spotted him a few times?
No, they had a 44.5 grade. He was their second lowest graded player ahead of Pierre.
Okay.
And they had Frazier really down low. So what if there's a 33rd team PFF war happening? Monson and Palazzolo head to the 33rd team. Now, Steve has always been very magnanimous about PFF.
So, wait, 33rd team, they're grading players much in the same way that PFF does?
I think they're doing their own proprietary kind of. Everyone's doing it now. ESPN does it.
They grade guys now, too?
Well, they have their own, pass rush win rate.
Oh, I've seen that.
Like TJ Watt and Myles Garrett, that became a thing.
That's a good point. I have no idea who behind the scenes is doing that stuff for them. But then again, I don't know who's doing it for PFF or 33rd team.
By the way, Wilson, the thing about, you said he thought he might look compromised and everything else. The thing that's been most impressive is he's played like fully within, I think, what are now physical limitations. The fact that the arm is still this lively, though, and that he's able to do this, man, if he just maybe almost gets a little more comfortable and decisive, I feel like you have even another level of him to get to still.
He's still got his fastball. I agree with that. Coming up next, PM team professors, the grades we give Mike Tomlin, Russell Wilson, the offense and the defense for this 1-point victory over the Commanders coming up next. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. First a headline.
Pitt and Gardner-Webb set to tip off in about an hour and a half at 7 o'clock, while pregame coverage beginning here on The Fan at 6:30 with the great Kale Burger. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Fan headlines are powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville.
Looking forward to tonight's football game, actually, even though the records don't really reflect that. Miami only has 2 wins, and L.A. is sitting there at 500. But I'll be watching tonight, and I'll be betting it on FanDuel, the official partner of 93.7 The Fan, the official betting partner of the NFL. I think it's going to be super entertaining. Both of these offenses can put points up, can move the ball in the air. They can both run the ball, too, with the three-headed monster of running backs. In Miami, you've got Kyrene Williams from Notre Dame over at in L.A. And the wide receivers for L.A. are healthy. We'll see if Tyreek Hill plays or not. I still like Miami to go in there and win. They're knocking on the door. They've come close the last 2 weeks. I think they get it done tonight in this game. And 3-6, I don't think gets them completely back in the playoff picture, but they'll definitely play spoiler for teams in the AFC in the second half of the year. New customers on FanDuel get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Just go to FanDuel.com/Andrew. 21+, present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is knowledgeable. Bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. See terms. Sportsbook.FanDuel.com. Restrictions apply. Gambling problem. Code 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm a sucker for a percussion open.
I'm trying to think of a famous. How about YYZ by Rush? That's got a decent percussion open. I'll tell you what, does anybody in this building like coming in more and putting their feet up on the table and just doing the old one of the guys shooting the breeze like Kale? Kale walks into every room, and if this were the show Cheers, he would do, how we doing? And then he just wants to shoot breeze.
PMT professors for Steelers and Commanders. Let's see who gets the best grade and gets the worst grade. All relative. No one's going to fail the class today.
Feels good to do this after a win. Victory
Everyone's
Monday.
Everyone's probably going to get a grade that goes up on the refrigerator when they go home.
Correct.
Starting with Steelers offense. Malzi.
I wrote down on my sheet here a B, but you know what? I have to up it to a B plus because you know what? They got a lot out of. They were very efficient. They maximized what they got. I think 312 yards of offense in this game outgained Washington. They converted with touchdowns. You convert 312 yards into 28 points. You still haven't been under 28 since Wilson took over. You played a close to A game. I didn't think they ran the ball efficiently. They were committed to it. I thought Warren was pretty good. Pony, they hit the Russell Wilson go balls. When they had chances to make one-on-one plays to their receivers, their big receivers, they made them. When Russ had a chance to hit Pat Freiermuth, who we were all complaining about, hey, is he ever going to get involved? He made a subtle, nice little throw to make sure he got in on the goal line. Got to give him a B+. Not quite an A performance. It was not their best. The fact that it put up 28 is very encouraging, though.
So that's right. That's why I think you had it correct at the beginning. I think it's a B. I don't want to grade them on a curve anymore where 28 points, regardless of how it happens, gets an A. They should have run the ball much better than they did in this game. And Russell Wilson threw for under 200 yards. Thanks to the muffed punt, they got set up with a very short field. To their credit, they cashed it in with a touchdown, didn't settle for a field goal. So I'm not going to really dock them for that at all because it's not like they just went three and out and got three free points handed to them by the special teams unit. B, this defense was notoriously bad against the run, was giving up over 5 yards per carry. And other than a few Jaylen Warren runs, it never really felt like the Steelers were having their way in the run game, which was a disappointment because they had been so good at it over the last three games during this winning streak. So that's the one place where I'm going to ding them here and why I'm going to give them a B and not an A.
They had a couple good runs, I think, on their second drive, and I thought they were about to really get it going. Then it never just really materialized. Harris, I thought, looked a step slow in this game compared to what he has looked. That's all I would say, hitting the edge.
I'm giving the Steelers defense a B, too. I'm going to be consistent here. I don't really think it's fair to put – I can't put one unit over the other in this game. Defense gave up 27, but when you compare it to what Washington has done all year, they kept them below their average. They stepped up, not in the third quarter of this game like they had all season. They gave up their first third quarter points of the season, but more so in the fourth quarter when they buckled down and only two first downs for Washington in the last 15 minutes of the game. Could have been a safety if the ref hadn't been asleep at the switch on that TJ Watt hold in the end zone after the Warren fumble.
I have a take there. I think refs don't like calling that particular penalty because they know it leads directly to 2 points.
That's probably right. Washington doesn't turn the ball over. They couldn't get one. That's why I'm not going to give them an A.
They also don't punt the ball, but they punted it a lot yesterday.
Yeah. So they, in that respect, they did their jobs. So I think solid game. And when you get solid from offense, solid from defense, that's how you beat a good team. B.
Second verse, same as the first. You and I are locked in as far as what each of us have done. I'm giving them a B+. Again, as much as I loved the fake punt call, even though it didn't work, it set Washington up with a short field. They gave up two big drives, one that ended up covering 94 net yards because the Commanders had some penalties to overcome. And then the other one right after that, after halftime, they gave up 71 yards. Otherwise, Washington, and I mean this, did nothing. They had a 40-yard field goal drive. Whoop-de-doo. Congratulations. Otherwise, a team that I still think, even after this game, is a very good team, a quarterback that I think is a very good quarterback, looked as mortal as he has looked maybe since he came into the NFL, with the exception of maybe one game here or there or a game he got knocked out, I guess. But I thought their defense did what great defenses do. And that is when their offense did need them to make a play, albeit with, Washington backed up to the one. They made sure they got the ball back very quickly. No funny business, no nothing. And late in that game, they put the clamps on them. And I give them a lot of credit for that. That's why I'm a little more bullish than you, a B+.
Steelers coaching.
We're probably going to be different here. I give them an A. I love the fake punt call. I love the fact that they had the balls to do it. I know it didn't work. You and I are going to be fundamentally different on that, and that's fine. I also think when you look at the fact that Washington's under 250 yards of offense, the overall defensive concept was good. And here's why I'm going to give Mike Tomlin kind of writ large. I know it's coaching, it's offense, defense, special teams, but here's why I'll finish with him. I remain very impressed as a guy whose biggest critique of Tomlin was that he felt like too often lately, the last several years, an old dog who refused to even consider new tricks. He has continued to give Russell Wilson the agency to play like Russell Wilson at his best, and he continually gets rewarded. And I will just go back one more time to the winning touchdown. On 3rd and 9 with any other quarterback or in past years where he doesn't believe in the guy as much, he is telling them, dial up something that gets me 6 or 7 yards. Let's do this incrementally. There it was. If the look is there, throw the go ball. And he got rewarded for it. I give him an A. He continues to push the right buttons.
I went B+. I think the special teams coaching doesn't entirely cancel each other out, but they did get a play from special teams to make up for what I thought was bad, very bad timing of the fake punt play, even though it was there. I just don't even think it's worth it to try it when you're dominating the game and you're backed up in your own end. The other questionable thing for me from a coaching perspective, which probably would have gotten some run on this show had they lost, was his decision to take the ball. Because it set Washington up for their score at the end of the first half and then getting the ball back and scoring to start the second half.
I agree
with
that.
Other than just boilerplate, I wanted to be aggressive. What was the actual, like, advantage that he was looking for by doing that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a very fair point. Everybody, what is it, like 90%+ of the people who win the coin toss take the ball or take the defer to the second half?
Yes.
It's a ridiculous stat now at this point. I don't like that. That's a fair point.
Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson, I give him an A- here. And I think that one of the things that we've obviously talked about today but does deserve underlining and bold font on is the hard count play. It is, I think McAfee said this, so I'll steal it from him. It's like the most Mr. Unlimited Russell Wilson play of all time. The dude lives for stuff like that. And that's why he's a kindred spirit with Tomlin. They go out there, and here's the thing about why I say it's like such a Mr. Unlimited thing. I think some quarterbacks go out there and they're like, well, this is kind of a waste of time. They're not going to jump off sides, but I have to do this because my coach is instructing me to do it.
Like Rodgers, who's great at the hard count. I'm sure he's gotten people, but he'll sidle out there, and it's just because he's so good at barking. But
Russ has the enthusiasm, yes, and vigor of actually, yes, thinking, I can get them to jump off sides, and then he did it. And that's why he celebrated like an 8-year-old girl who just found out she didn't have to go to school tomorrow because of a snow day. Like, he was so giddy and so gleeful after that because I think that's the kind of crap he takes an immense amount of pride
in. He and Mike love it.
Yep. So I give him an only 50% passer. He did throw an interception, but as he pointed out after the game, it was on a third down, so it did act like a punt. I came away incredibly impressed again with his long ball accuracy late in the game with the throws to Pickens and then the touchdown to Mike Williams. And he had balls and clutch gene late. A- for Russ.
I still can't get out of my head the vision of that whole sideline erupting when he gets him with the hard count. That's as
they like him, Chris.
No, like I'm saying, they were happy because they won the game, but yeah, they all just went nuts. I'm giving him a B+, which might surprise you given that I've been the easier grader of the two of us through three categories. Here's why. I'm done grading Russ on a curve. He's been that good. Like when he's only 50%, when he does miss on a couple throws, I'll ding him a little bit for that, but I watched from the end zone view. It's one thing to see that winning throw from the angle we typically see on the sideline. I watched the end zone view, man. Now, Dan Moore got beat and, to his credit, shoved the guy inside so Russ could move a little bit. That was an off-platform, moving kind of awkwardly to his left throw, and it just could not have been more perfectly placed. He got away with one, I think, on the Pickens touchdown where Pickens made the play look great. But you know what? Guys are more motivated to do that when you're going out there and making all the right things happen. Otherwise, sharp throw to Freiermuth. I thought he had a couple that could have gotten away, that could have been catches that were better throws than he'll get credit for, Pony. But I go back to that Cam Hayward clip we've played, that he just never gets outside himself, that he's just chill and calm. Everyone can say what they want. Is he toxic positivity? Is he this or that? I will say this for like the 10th time. Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, two blood and guts players, lobbied hard for him. They are being validated. That guy is a winner. To steal Starkey's column, I guess, headline. That guy is a winner, and he showed it again yesterday. I give him a B+, only because now I expect A's all the time.
PM team, Professor Grades there. Coming up next, we have a hodgepodge. The Penguins play in an hour and 20 minutes. There is some news on what's going on with them in net and maybe a level of discord and unhappiness that is now permeating the organization regarding one of their star players. By the way, who's not Tristan Jarry.
We'll you said you. Star players.
Yeah, good point. Yes, he's just getting paid like a star player.
When I see Borges, the biggest hockey guy ever, just like get like an evil devil-like grin when I say that, I know I touched the
people
correct
nerve.
People
seem to like the back and forth last night where I said they should have Jarry play goal in between periods in like the Mighty Mites games. And I think you made a comment about how he would get lit up.
Correct.
Doing
Those kids
that.
Have real moves. Yeah.
Yes, people seem to like that. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 43 degrees. Weather Seal Home Services. They have a great deal running on a new roof. I don't have to actually make hyperbolic statements here or try to exaggerate when it comes to the promotions they run or deals they have because they really are great. Like right now with Weather Seal, you sign up for a new roof with them and on-site approved financing, they can get the new roof done in a week's time. Now, I'm in a new neighborhood. I've seen builders and how long it typically takes to get a roof up and running, looking good. A week seems incredible to me, but they can do it. Also, no interest-free financing for 2 years. That's 24 months without any payments with interest through my friends at Weather Seal Home Services. So go to their website and schedule a free estimate. Get that free quote today. WeatherSealHomeServices.com. Check them out, Weather Seal. Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.